Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Teachable Moments with your host, Amber Waters Porter. Prepare to enjoy conversations and practical discussions with biblical principles that inform, inspire, and lift your spirits to new heights. Listen weekly as you live in the moment and allow God to speak wisdom to your life. Now, find your moment with your host, Amber Waters Porter.
Welcome back. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It is Tuesday, and it's time for Teachable Moments. I've been gone recovering a cold, and I have Pastor Porter with me today, who's also been down sick worse than I was for 3 weeks. Welcome back, Pastor C.
Thank you very much. Glad to be back.
Great. As you can hear, I'm still a little congested, but we're going to push on through. Today we have the questions. And so we have I really got some heavy hitting questions this time. And so I was like, wow, how do I choose which questions to ask? They all seem kind of relevant. But I made a choice and sent the questions over to Pastor C. And so let's get to them. We're going to try to get to as many as we possibly can, but we're going to get started. How about that? You ready, Pastor C?
I'm ready.
All righty, let's get to it. Maybe with an easier one today. You're making a lot of noise in the background, Pastor C. You got to, I don't know what you're doing, but you're doing too much. Let's start with the first question. And this is a pretty light question, nothing too bad. It says, I heard a preacher say, travail in the spirit. What is travailing and moaning in the spirit? What are the benefits of doing that?
The first part of the question is, what is travailing? And I would say, and I found and have experienced, that travailing is a storm, shall we say, of intense intercessory prayer. It's given by the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's not just you getting on your knees, as I often say, saying, now I really am asleep, or some little, you know, small, insignificant prayer, but it is an intense prayer that the Holy Spirit is moving in and through you, whereby you, an individual or a group of people, are gripping with something serious and intense, and they are speaking the heart of God. So I say that the intercession is laborious, laborious. The Holy Spirit directing, and it's like developing an opening for the Holy Spirit to issue forth, just as a mother travails and brings forth a child. During this type of intercessory prayer, the Spirit moving, its main function is to bring forth and deliver a promise, even into one's destiny that the Holy Spirit has directed. Is that clear?
That's clear. And just to clarify, when you said not some small insignificant prayer like lay me down to sleep, you don't like literally mean.
No. I'm really saying a very significant and a serious prayer you're praying about. Somebody's destiny in life, yes. You may be even your own destiny, even your calling, the Lord, that you feel that the Lord has placed on your life and you haven't really developed it, or the Lord like directing you into a definite type of ministry and you haven't quite committed yourself to it, but the Holy Spirit is the one that's directing and ruling and drawing you.
Okay, well, that was it for the easy question. Excuse me. For the easy question, but we have a little bit more hard questions. You ready for the next one?
I hope so.
Okay. Okay, so it says, and my heart really goes out for this person, but it says, I have recently, okay, I'll switch. I'll come back to that one. And this one says, I have recently begun a new relationship with a guy I dated years ago. It appears to be heading for marriage. We both love the Lord, though I have a closer walk with the Lord. I told my friend I wanted to keep this relationship on the right path by not engaging sexually. How do I continue to emphasize this without constantly telling him? How do I combat his advances when he tries to break me down? How do I reestablish boundaries if I messed up and let it go too far one time? Now, that's a loaded question, so you need to break it down.
Let's start by, she wants to, if I understood correctly, she wants to keep things on the right path. Okay. And if I understood, she said that you stated that she wanted this relationship, right, to be with family sexual advances.
Well, I told my friend I wanted to keep this relationship on the right path by not engaging sexually.
Okay, so she wants to be in a relationship with him.
Previously, she was in a relationship with him.
Okay, but apparently they're dating now. And she wants to develop this relationship with him, but doesn't want to have any sexual activity.
Right.
Now, she stated that.
She stated that.
To him, I mean.
Yes.
So,
I continue to emphasize this without constantly overemphasizing it.
Okay, so what I'm saying is she's already told him that she wants to be in a relationship. Just doesn't want it to be sexual. And apparently, he has agreed. That's what it seems to be. He agreed. Okay.
Question, he tries to break her down.
Okay.
See if she really is going to stick with that. So.
Okay. So, apparently, there is a verbal agreement. That's what I'm driving at. Okay. And to emphasize, and not overemphasize, I would suggest that she set, along with him, new goals that they both can agree on. Okay. Whatever new goals are, yes, they're new goals. And I think that they need to involve themselves in spiritual activities to kind of emphasize where you're going, what you want to do. I think she needs to seriously get involved in spiritual things, I would say Christian activities. Okay. Also, I would suggest that you develop a real different mindset along with him in setting your goals. You need to look towards things that are spiritual, yes. But things that are not given to the flesh. In other words, you're not going to go sit up in the club where they got somebody working the pole. You're just saying, you're going to go somewhere where, you know, it leads to temptation. That's what I'm saying. And also, they need to talk about things of substance. And things that will bring them together of the same mindset, the same goals, the things. So, in other words, somebody say set future goals for their lives.
Okay.
You know, like buying a large house and having a lot of land, and what would we grow? What would we do? Just kind of develop things that would bond their relationship. This girl's really serious, you know. Yes, that type of thing. But yet it's not given to physical, intimate, close contact with the lights out and the music low. You know what I'm saying? The other thing is, it's really serious, and you said you can sense that he's trying to get through to you, break you down for the intimate things. I would suggest that you really seriously address, let's do marriage, pre-marital counseling. Yeah, let's get involved with that. And if he's serious about you, he may kind of balk a little bit. But if he's really serious, if the relationship is really headed towards marriage, and I certainly should say I should have prefaced all of this by praying about it and seeing what the mind of God is. But if it's kind of moving, you feel very comfortable with him, and you want to possibly take everything to the next level, I definitely feel that you need to create some boundaries by going to marriage counseling and really getting to the nitty-gritty of a serious, committed relationship, not just physical, but all the other things that are entailed, the number of children, how you want to discipline the children, and, you know, what we're going to do for your mother Christmas and my mother Christmas, how we develop holidays, you know, those type things. You can really get down to some serious facts, not just hugging and kissing, but see where, how your lives really can meet and mesh together, how you can glide together and become one bubble, two bubbles coming together as one larger bubble and not having a collision. You follow me?
I do. Excuse me. So is your answer the same for her last question, which is how do I reestablish boundaries if I've messed up and let go?
I definitely think that she feels like she's messed up and released herself and shown her love and affection. She needs to use that as leverage to say, you know what, I'm in love with you and you're in love with me. And we have expressed and shared our love sexually. Ultimately would be a better word. And if you're really serious about each other, when you feel about me the way I feel about you, I think we really need to take our relationship to another level. She may not say marriage, but that's exactly the direction she's headed, and you'll know that. You know, before we get too carried away, and before we end up having a child on the way, let's seriously consider, and then she can lay out X, Y, and Z.
Okay, good stuff. Okay, let's do this question. I'm trying to give you some time before I get into some really emotional questions that were asked. If I've been paying my tithing off of my income all year, do I pay tithe off of my income tax return?
I believe the answer is yes. But heaven is not going to fall in on you, and a hole in the ground is not going to open up and swallow you if you don't, whoever you are. But I base my answer on Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, where it says, honor the Lord with your wealth possessions and with or from the first fruits of all your crops. The best part of everything you produce, the first fruit and best part of your income, the first fruit of all thine increases. That's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. So in other words, the Bible says, in everyday language, you honor God when you present to him your tithing, your offerings, your first fruit. At any rate, you will not outgive God. Whatever he blesses you with, you give back to him. He's obligated to return it to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God will not be obligated to you. He will bless you in your giving. So, though you pay income taxes all year long, or whatever, paid your tithe and offering all year long, fine. But anytime you get a blessing, you can bless God's house, bless the man of God, bless the work of God, bless the service and ministries of God. You are honoring him, and he will return that blessing to you. We're talking tithing. He promised he would open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive. And so that's the inside for that. It's up to you.
It's up to you. Okay. I said he was going to answer the need, and now I'm really got to make a decision between these three emotional questions, but I'm just going to just go ahead. They want to know the answer, and so let's get it. The question says, my grandmother had just been released from the hospital. She was fine. While at home, my aunt gave my grandmother too much insulin. A few minutes later, my grandmother went into sugar shock. By the time we rushed her back to the hospital, my grandmother was gone. I am so hurt. My grandmother would have been here had they verified the correct amount of insulin. How do I deal with the whole issue of her death? How do I get past the hurt and anger against my aunt? They killed her.
So another question, is there a healthy way to look at death?
Well, no, that's a separate.
Okay. But I'll address this this matter from this perspective again. The Bible says, the Bible says to everything there is a season. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And it says that there is a time to be born and a time to die. And I just want to pause right here and say very often, and we all do this, when babies are born, we shower the moms, we just get so excited and thrilled, we're snapping pictures, and we just get beside ourselves, exuberant, because of the new birth. And but the Bible tells us that we should weep at their coming in and rejoice at their going out. And as the word says, a time to be born, and there is. We don't face that. We don't consider that. We don't think about death until we're confronted with it. Unfortunately, death doesn't always come pleasantly and sweet. Sometimes it is a homicide. Sometimes it's suicide, you know. Sometimes it's through a malpractice or, you know, accidental. And it's hard any way you look at it. But the Bible tells us that this time is coming and that we basically should be prepared to face it. Now, unfortunately, it's hard. I got it. I read this question you sent to me. It's sad when anyone leaves us. It is. However, it is necessary. It's God's plan. like it says in Job, not necessarily speaks about this, but the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so recently, I would suggest that she come to terms with it on this wise. It was an accident, according to her description of the occasion. There was no malice intended, if anything. The aunties thought they were doing the right thing. So that clearly states or suggests that it was just an accident. And they rushed into the hospital, again, doing the proper thing, calling 911, trying to get help, aid, assistance. But it was her timing to go. How do you get over the pain? How about this? Look at it this way. She had a condition, and not only you loved her, but the aunts loved her. They came there. They were around her trying to do what they thought was best. Look at it this way. How do I get over it? Look at it this way. Consider. They, too, like you, are heartbroken.
Right.
And yet they bear the brunt of the full knowledge that had they verified, had they checked the records or checked her doses, or had they just taken a moment to read over the script or whatever it was they had to work from, they bear the brunt knowing that they made that decision, which was a wrong decision. And surely they feel contrite, they feel horrified, very upset. First of all, that she passed, and secondly, that they had something to do with it. How do I get over the hurt? Consider that, one. Secondly, what would grandmama say? Would she tell you, get an axe, knock them in the head, kill them because they killed me? I should show them that. If these two sisters or two aunties loved her, you two loved her, to be there and try to care for her and just care for her,
right,
and she did not want to tear the family up by being bitter, angry, and resentful, I understand hurt. Hurt accompanies grief. But if you don't release it and let it go, it will develop into that which can tear the family apart. Keep the family together. And think of the good times and the good memories. And think of them. And remember, you guys are the legacy that's left behind. You carry out the legacy as grandmama would want you to.
And so I thought about it, and it's really sad, and I'm sure nothing you say can or will make it feel better. And it was interesting, that's why I added this next question, which someone asked is there a healthy way to look at death? What is the healthiest way to prepare for the death of a family member? And so with that other question, I don't know if it will really help much, but what do you think about just kind of saying, you know, every person, the Bible says every man was born with a number of days.
Absolutely.
And so, you know.
And unfortunately, when children are born, our parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents are born, there is no script. The script, you know, that tells you when they're going to die or how they're going to die. You know, just reflect back on back on the time when slavery died. Our four parents, our great grandfather, the pioneers, were shot and killed, standing up for rights. You know, they did what they went through, so we could have the right to vote. But they were hanged, they were whipped, they were humiliated, their heads were cut off, their hands were cut off. Type of vile things happened. But in the end, like we say, nobody wants to hear this, but all things work together for good. The good that came out of that was that we, in the 20th and 21st century, have the right to vote and all the other things that different movements stood for. I'm just saying that, you know, we just have to recognize we don't know how God's going to take us. We don't know when. Some people freeze to death. Some people fall off a cliff. Other people are shot. But if their heart and mind and their spirit is right, if they're pure in heart, they'll see God in peace.
And to add to that, I don't even think I would want to know when.
No.
When you're going to go. Knowing when. I think it's hard enough for people who have those horrible diseases now to know or to hear, or their family even hear, this person has a certain amount of days left, or they only have given them a certain amount of months to live. That's just horrible. I wouldn't want to know.
But you'd be surprised how many people do. And it allows them either way. The point is, with the reality that you're not here to stay, this is not your eternal forever home, it allows you to put your business in order. Not only the house and the insurance and the car and the will, but to get your spiritual business in order.
But don't you think even with that, you know, if you knew the day that you were going to die, it doesn't mean that you're going to be in good health or in your right mind when you die. We just heard someone who passed away who was put on something happened and she was on life support. And then as soon as they took her off, she died. So she may have known her date, but that doesn't mean you're going to be able to say, Lord, forgive me. I accept Jesus as a personal Savior at that moment or before that day. That's
being risk,
takes a great risk.
Which goes back to what I said. Really? Which goes back to what I said before. Living in the moment, realizing to every man there is a season. You are already born, we know that, we see that. But you are going to die. So you need to set your house in order, whether you're 6, 16, 60, or 96.
Right. And that's very important. I mean, we have insurance for a car. You got to get insurance for your life.
Exactly.
It's necessary. You don't take risks, or you shouldn't take risks with your car. Why take risks with your life? I don't need, you know, it's hot enough during some of these summers. I don't need not one part of hell. I don't need the burning. I'm good. I can walk through the streets and go quite nicely. But we did get to the other two questions, which are just as sad, but for the other question. But I hope that every given will really help you. Thank you, Pastor C. I'll see you next week if you're all well. Have a good night and find your moment. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.